Now, one of the big questions that we have growing up is, what work should I do? Anyone here ever had that question before? Not really sure what your future direction should be. It's often a question that's forced upon us when we're finishing school, when we have to think about our preferences for uni or just what we want to do for the rest of our lives in terms of work. Now, I remember when I was growing up, my thoughts about what I might do in the future were all over the place. I think I moved from a plan. Initially, I liked animals, so I thought of studying veterinary science to pondering whether to go for medicine or law or science or theology. Now, in the end, I chose initially to study science at Sydney Uni. My first year, I studied maths, physics, and chemistry, and I also had a space for an elective subject. So does anyone know what I chose to do as my elective? No, it wasn't Chinese. No, I chose to do New Testament Greek. Whenever I told people what I was studying, they'd think, yeah, maths, physics, chemistry. New Testament Greek? How does that fit into a science degree? That's the question that everyone asked me back then. But I'm glad that I did choose that subject because my interest and ability in that particular subject literally changed the direction of my life. Now, growing up, it's sometimes hard to know what work we should do in the future. And I'm sure that some Christians have wished before for a sign or some kind of direction from God concerning their future career. But it's quite surprising to find that in the Bible, the issue with work isn't actually what we should do, but how we should do it. And this is important to realize. God isn't interested so much in what you do, but in how you do the things that you do. Sure, the Bible always encourages us to be rich in good works. We need to avoid doing what's bad. God wants to see in us the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit. He wants to see in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But in terms of the specifics of what we do, God actually gives us a lot of freedom. As long as it's good, and as long as we're doing it for God, it doesn't actually matter too much what exactly we end up doing. And we need to keep that in mind because too often people tend to get caught up worrying about what kind of job we should do. But the Bible isn't concerned to give us specific career advice. The issue isn't really what, but how. Well, if that is the case, what does the Bible say about how to work? Now, we looked at some of this a little bit last week, but there are four other things that I'd like to bring to your attention today about how we should work. And as we do this, keep in mind that work, in the bigger biblical perspective, is everything that we do. So, how are we to go out and work? Well, firstly, the Bible tells us to work for God, not for idols. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Is that something that you can claim for yourself as your current mode of operation? Do you do what you do for God? Or is it basically you doing what you do because you're thinking of yourself? We need to remember that just like Adam, we've been created by God to work for him. God is our boss. Our job is to work for him, to follow his instructions. And it's only as we work for him that we'll be truly fulfilled. But the problem is we often lose focus, don't we? Instead of working for God, we end up working for ourselves or for things that aren't God. And this is a problem that the people of Israel fell into. They were supposed to be a kingdom of priests. They were supposed to be a holy nation. They were supposed to be people who were serving God. But instead, they got caught up in idolatry. Instead of working for God and His glory, they built for themselves idols of silver and gold. Now, the Bible often describes idols as being the work of human hands. In Psalm 115, idols are described in that way. They're things that human beings make. They're not true gods. They have mouths, but do not speak. They have eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel. Feet, but do not walk. And they don't make any sound in their throat. And then in Psalm 115 it says, those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. And that psalm there reminds us that if you spend your time creating false gods to serve, you'll actually end up like them. Senseless, unfeeling, dead. Working for anyone or anything else than God is basically a waste of time and effort, and it leads to the grave. So make sure you don't go out to work just for the sake of idols. Don't go out to work just for the sake of money. We haven't been put on earth in order to accumulate gold and silver. Whatever you do, make sure that you're doing it for God, not idols. Secondly, God wants us to work hard and skillfully. And we can see this from some of the verses from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 12:11 says, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. There comes a time when we need to put down our toys or our games and get to work. If you don't work, not only do you lack sense, but according to Proverbs 12:11 there, you'll probably lack food as well. Another good verse in this regard is Proverbs 14:23. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. The word translated as toil there implies difficulty and pain. As we work hard for God, there will be pain. There'll probably be tiredness, but at the same time, it'll be profitable for us to do so. As we work for God, there'll be great spiritual profit and perhaps even some monetary profit as well. So it's important to work hard. But together with that, God also wants us to work skillfully. We can see this in Proverbs 22, verse 29, where it says, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Now, it's fairly normal in this world for skillful workers to get promoted, or at the very least, every so often to be offered a pay rise. Skillful workers don't normally stay on the bottom rung. Those who are extra skillful, well, they often come to the attention of the authorities, or they get rewarded somehow. Now, even though it's good to be skillful and we should be seeking to develop our skills over time, we also do need to acknowledge that sometimes skill isn't rewarded. Now, I feel that I've been in employment situations before when doing a good job, like teaching the Bible, which I was supposed to be doing, has actually led to my dismissal. But in general, skill will be rewarded. If not in this world, then definitely all of God's servants who have worked with energy and skill will have the honour one day of standing before the greatest king. If you're working for God and using all of your energy and skill for Him, then on the final day, God will acknowledge what He has worked through you. So work hard. But also think about what you are skilled in doing or what skills you can develop. As you focus on developing your skills over time, through practice, you should see growth in your skill set. And you'll be able to use that for God. Whatever you do, work hard, work skillfully, employ your abilities for God and His kingdom. Which brings us to our third point. Whatever you do, you need to commit your plans and the outcome of your work to God. Proverbs 16:3 teaches us, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. It's good to have a plan for the future. Any of you here who aren't thinking about the future, well, you need to start planning. But the Bible also warns us not to think that dreams automatically come true. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will be established. We're going to have plans for all sorts of things, but it's the will of God that determines every outcome. We get some similar advice to this in the book of James, chapter 4, where it says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city, we'll spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Now, many people have plans to achieve things in life, business plans, plans for study. But James tells us, just be careful right at that point. It's good to have a plan, but you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Be careful when you make your plans. We need to be humble as we do so. We need to realize that ultimately the outcome of all of our plans is in the hand of God. And so James tells us, instead of saying we'll do this, we'll do that, you need to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Make your plans. Seek good advice. But always remember that your plan will only succeed if God allows it to. And if that is the case, well, it makes sense, doesn't it? That in everything that we do, we need to be handing our plans over to God in prayer. Be humble. Entrust your plans to God, and He will establish those plans of yours that fit into His will. And this brings us to the fourth point that I'd like to bring to your attention about how we're meant to be working. And that is that we actually enjoy the work that we do. Now, it's true that work outside the Garden of Eden isn't easy. But God still wants us to be able to find enjoyment in what we do. And this is an idea that's particularly emphasized in the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about the wisdom of the world and it critiques the way in which people think that we get on in life and achieve things through self-effort. And a lot of people think that way today. I think it's the default situation when you go to school. What are you taught? Study hard and then things will go okay. You'll be able to end up getting a good job and then you'll be able to go out, work hard, make lots of money or perhaps even become famous. That's the wisdom of the world. But that kind of thinking is problematic for a number of reasons. There's no guarantee that self-effort will actually get you anywhere. You might be studying very, very hard, but the next day you have an encounter with a bus which goes through a red light. But even if you manage to make a fortune through hard work, there's the other problem that you can't take it with you when you die. Even if you're famous, well, think about it. The people who are famous today, are they going to be so famous in 10, 20, 30 years' time? What tends to happen is the people who are famous today, the vast majority will end up being forgotten about the longer that time goes on. So when you critique the wisdom of the world like that, it doesn't make sense to kill yourself through hard work and ambition just to get rich or to become famous.
Instead of running the rat race and trying to compete, the book of Ecclesiastes teaches us to work in a balanced way for God's kingdom rather than to burn with ambition for the sake of our own little empire. Now, being lazy isn't good, but neither is working ourselves to death for the wrong reasons. That's why Ecclesiastes 4:6 can say that a handful of rest is better than two hands full of toil and striving after the wind. What we see in the book of Ecclesiastes is work is important, but we need to put it in perspective. And a good place to go in the book of Ecclesiastes is chapter 9, verses 7 to 10. And it says in those verses, "Go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments always be white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Live life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in the underworld where you are going." You see what the author is saying to us there? In the light of the reality of death, make sure you actually enjoy life. Eat joyfully, drink merrily, dress cheerfully, live well, which especially means experiencing and enjoying life with your husband or wife, if married. Now, one of the things I see happening in society today is this rush to get to work and to make money. People are so busy building their own little empires that they're not actually enjoying life. There needs to be a balance. Sure, don't be lazy, but also don't be a workaholic. That's why it says here, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Work hard, but at the same time, keep in mind that you need to have time to enjoy life as well. God's put us here not just to work as slaves, but to enjoy the good things that he gives. So make sure that you have time to enjoy food, drink, fashion, and family. So to sum up what we've learned today, the main point is don't stress out about your future career. Don't worry too much about what work you should do in the future. As long as it's good and pleasing to God, God has already approved of what we do. It's not so much what we do as how we do it. And when it comes to how we work, then keep in mind the four things that we've looked at today. Work for God, not idols. Work hard and skillfully. At the same time, commit your plans to the Lord and make sure that you enjoy the simple things in life that God has given to us to enjoy. Whatever your hand has found to do, the Bible tells us to do it with all of our might and ability. To do it well, not just for ourselves, but ultimately for God, while trusting in him for the outcome and making sure that we have time to rest where necessary and time to enjoy the life that God has given us. Now, there really isn't much more than that in the Bible about what work it is that we're supposed to be doing. But quite possibly, there might be some of you in the audience here who are thinking, "Well, Stephen, I'd actually like to have more specific advice as to what I should do in the future." And the question is, does the Bible give us specific guidance? The answer is, sadly, if you're looking for specific guidance, not really. There's nothing very specific. There are no verses in the Bible that say, "Stephen, you should study Chinese." What are we told? Well, keep in mind some of the things we've looked at today, and in particular, the need for hard work and skill, and also the importance of enjoyment. Now, I think if you want to know what job you should do in the future, then you can ask the question, what am I good at doing? What do I enjoy doing? Look at your skills and consider what you're interested in. I don't think God ever wants people to slave away at a job that they don't like just for the sake of money. God has given each of us particular skills and abilities and interests, and the assumption is he's given us those skills, abilities and interests for a particular reason. Perhaps he wants us to use those things for the sake of his kingdom. So, I reckon that means that you can't go too far wrong when seeking a career in a field that balances your abilities with your interests. But any further than that, I don't think there's anything specific that we get in the Bible as to what you should actually do in the future. Remember what we've seen today. Basically, if it's good and if it's for God, then go for it. Whatever it is, it's really up to you to work out for yourself over time as God leads you. But whatever it ends up being, whatever you end up doing, then make sure you do it with energy, you do it with skill, you do it with humility, and you do it with joy. And most of all, do it for God. That's what we're here for.